God, as we have come to your table, let it be a tangible or a physical symbol of a deep spiritual truth that each and every one of us have a place at your table. That nothing we have said, nothing we have done can ever separate us from your love. Amen. Wonderful. I should have been a little bit quicker with my instructions, but we'll just have to do another one. What I want to do is also get each of you to grab one of those invitation cards. So actually, why don't we just do that now? So, and a pencil or something to write with. There are some of those as well. So grab that card and just hold on to it with something to write with, and you can sit down again. If you've got a pen with you, maybe spare one of those. There's some pencils in there. Hopefully we have enough. Thank you, guys. That was great. So we are in the middle of our Lent series. And this morning we have been, in that series, we have been looking at Jesus through the different lenses. And we've been looking at how others have encountered Jesus, just even any color pencil or anything like that. I think if not, we can use those markers as well. But so we've been looking at how, as we look at Jesus, how he encounters people through the Gospels, how those encounters with Jesus can inform us as we journey through this season of Lent, which is a time where the church all over the world, a time where we pray, a time to sacrifice, to give up, a time to repent, to turn toward Jesus, and it is a time of preparation for what is to come, which is Easter, a celebration of everything that Jesus has done in us and through us and for us. So looking, and as we see that this morning, we are going to a very, very special morning where I couldn't just talk about Jesus at the table. You know, it would be like just talking about being married, or just talking about driving a Porsche 911. It's not the same as actually getting behind the wheel. I don't do marriage and a Porsche 911 as interchangeable. Maybe a McLaren in marriage, that would be more my... So we are going to, as best we can in the context of what we have, is not just talk about Jesus at the table, but encounter Jesus at his table this morning. So I hope you have an increased expectation. We have had in our times of prayer and preparation just this overwhelming sense that Jesus is present this morning and his Holy Spirit is present this morning to do something powerful through the ordinariness of his table. Anyone excited? Wonderful. Hey, there we go. So the table is Jesus' way of interacting and connecting with people. I'm just going to read through Luke, our scripture this morning, which is a bit long, but it is Luke 22. Now, if you are an imaginary person, maybe like myself, you might want to just close your eyes and imagine the scene. This is Jesus at the Last Supper with his disciples. So we know in context that the 12 disciples, and for Jesus himself, their world, their life is about to turn completely upside down. Everything they thought, even all of the things that Jesus had been saying, none of it quite kind of clicked. I love as we read scripture, it makes for such a great place to be a broken, confused, a lot of the time follower of Jesus, because we have a wonderful example in scripture of the 12 who really so often had no idea what Jesus was talking about. And so if you can, close your eyes and just imagine. I'm going to pick up in Luke 22, starting in verse 1. The time came for the festival of unleavened bread, known as Passover. The chief priests and scribes looked for a way to assassinate Jesus because they took to task all the things that he had said. But they were worried about the crowds. Satan had already entered Judas, whose surname was Iscariot, who was one of the company of the 12. He went and held a meeting with the chief priests and the officials to discuss how he might hand Jesus over. They were delighted and they promised to pay him. He agreed and he started to look for an opportunity to hand him over to them when the crowds weren't around. The day of unleavened bread had arrived, the day when people had to kill the Passover lamb. Jesus dispatched Peter and John. "Off you go," he said. "Get the Passover ready for us to eat." "Where would you like us to prepare it?" they asked him. "Listen carefully," Jesus said. "As you go into the city, a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him, and when he goes into a house, go in after him. Then say to the householder there, the teacher says, 'Where is your living room, and where can I eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' And he will show you to a large upper room, laid out and ready. Make the preparations there." So they went and found it just as he had said, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the time came, Jesus sat down at the table with the apostles. "I have been so looking forward to eating this Passover meal before I have to suffer. For let me tell you, I won't eat it again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And then he took a cup and he gave thanks and he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. Let me tell you, from now on, I won't drink from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." He then took some bread, and he gave thanks, and broke it, and he gave it to them. "This is my body," he said, "which has been given for you. Do this in memory of me." So too, after supper, with the cup. "This cup," he said, "is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But look here, someone here is going to betray me," he said. "And his hands are with us at the table. The Son of Man is indeed going to, as it is marked out for him, but woe to the man who has betrayed him." They began to ask one another which one of them is going to do this. I love that that picture of, you know, looking around and thinking, "Oh, I bet it's Niall. I always knew he had a funny look on his face." You know, you imagine immediately, "Not me," you know, like sort of going around. I love the humanity and the truthfulness of Scripture. Because if we were to read on a little bit later, it just shows this isn't this encounter with Jesus and his disciples, this Last Supper, is filled with lots of confusion. If we were read the next portion of Scripture, there's all kinds of arguments break out about who's going to be the greatest, who's going to be the one who betrays Jesus, who's going to do this, who's going to do that. And Jesus, meanwhile, you can imagine just his heart being like, "Oh, you guys have no idea what's about to come." And it's for me, I actually find it quite encouraging. So the Gospels are filled with stories of the scandal of Jesus and coming to a table and the people that he invited around the table. Really, one of the main, I guess, reasons why, one of the biggest issues that the chief priests and the religious leaders of the day had with Jesus was the very people that he chose to associate with. That was really one of the main criticisms of all that Jesus did, was the fact that he hung out with people he wasn't supposed to hang out with. Yeah. Why did he do that? This is, like I said, it's going to be different. Why did Jesus hang out with all of the people that religion or the church, as you could say, of the day said he shouldn't? Why did he do it? Example for it. Wonderful. Yeah. Came to save the lost. Why did the religious, have you ever thought about why did the religious leaders, why was that so upsetting to them? Yeah. Pride. What else? Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't Jesus, when Jesus' table is a radical, radical indictment on culture. It still is today. Like the power that we see in this Last Supper is as present today here in Warkworth as it was then. It's a table, it's a place that looks at culture and says, this is not how the kingdom of God is. Our culture would say, you've got to earn your place at the table. Our culture would say, you've got to be young enough to be at the table, or pretty enough to be at the table, or rich enough to be at the table. And yet everyone present, their name is at the table. Why did Jesus do it, and why was it so aggravating? It's because what Jesus was doing at the table, what he did at the table over and over and over again, was to crush the norms of society that divide and separate people out, that judge people on a scale of those who earn it and those who deserve it. Those who have, in their own goodness, so their own efforts, have deserve a place at the table. And yet Jesus is saying over and over again, that's not how the kingdom of God is. Another reason is that it demonstrates the very compassion of who God is. It displays God's heart for the poor and the marginalized. God's heart is that every single one of us know that our name is. We have a place at his table. Another reason is that it reaches out to the lost and the hurting and the broken of that age, but of this age as well, to remind us that salvation is ours, that he's made a way for us. Jesus spent so much time at the table because it is grace in action. You know, we lose a little bit of the context, but in first century context, to invite someone to the table was to link your life with theirs. It spoke of a oneness, of a connectedness, and that's what God wants to remind us today. That as we come to his table, he is linking himself with us, with you. To remind you of his goodness and his faithfulness. To remind you that he is committed to reconciliation with you. Isn't it profound, or I'd love us to consider that when Jesus wanted to communicate to his followers in that upper room in a way that they would understand that in a moment, you know, their life was going to be turned upside down. We know from seeing what's happened and reading scripture that all of them were going to be scattered and everything was going to be absolutely turned upside down. They were going to be so disappointed. They were going to be so confused. They weren't going to understand anything that was about to happen. And so here in this beautiful moment, Jesus chooses what to communicate, it's going to be okay. A great theological message, a 5-point sermon, all those things are fine. But no, he chooses the table. He chooses a meal. He invites them in, knowing that their world is about to change forever. How and the way he wants to communicate with them, the way he wants to communicate with us this morning, is to remind us of himself through the table. For us to come to him through a meal. Thank you, I think it is too. Jesus gave them, and he gives us, a practice, a meal that he says in Scripture we are to do often to remember him. We do it this morning to remind ourselves of who he is and what he's like. But we do it this morning to remind ourselves that profound message that your name belongs at his table. Those names you've written on behalf of other people, they belong at that table. I love that the kids are in this morning because they can see. Kids, one thing you'll need to know is as you get older, there will be lots of tables that are put in front of you that you can eat from. Isn't that right as adults? We can eat from the table of money and success and power, where somehow we think that the more money we have or the better title we have is going to make us worth being at the table. And yet it's a meal that never satisfies. Those kinds of tables offer so much. I was going to have a table up here filled with cakes and donuts and all sorts, but I ran out of time and kind of thought, oh, I don't know if it's going to work. But, you know, we get so tempted by other tables, by other meals that promise so much and never deliver. And yet we're here this morning to remind ourselves that as simple, and as in one way you look at it and think that's hardly even a meal, in Jesus can do so much. What I want us to do now is you've got an invitation card, hopefully, in your hand. And what I want to do is just take a few minutes, open up the card. And I said to you, as adults, the thing, as we follow Jesus through this broken world, we can face lots of things that make it really difficult to remind ourselves of who Jesus is. Life gets really hard. And so what I'd like you to do as you open up your card is I want you, if you're in a season now where you are facing some really big things, I want you to just write those things in the card now. If you've been listening to me and you, in your inner dialogue, have said, yeah, Lyndon, but you don't know this. But I've done this, or I've said this. I want you to write this in the card now. We're going to have just a bit of time to do that. If you haven't got a card, get a piece of paper or something, or write something, or use something that you can just hold on to. If you've got doubt, if you know, like you think, oh, that's all well and good, but it can't be that simple. You know, Jesus' followers then and all through time have always been broken people. Think about as you've journeyed through this season of Lent, and there are areas where God is calling you to repent. That's just a big word for saying turn away. You know, if you even imagine yourself knowing that you've spent a lot of time sitting at a table eating, you say, from food that isn't what Jesus said. Like a big chunk of your time is spent focusing on money and possession, or caring about what other people think or say. This is just the real, I had a conversation just before church started about, how are you? Good. Yeah, good, thanks. And we were just sort of laughing about how inauthentic that can be sometimes. What I want us to do in these cards is be as authentic as we possibly can, good, bad, or otherwise. No one's going to read them. You can actually even tear them up when you're done, or just about before you get. Think about the areas where you've betrayed Jesus. It sounds like very harsh, but I've said it in a way to provoke. But, you know, so many people, like, you think Jesus, all Judas was doing was trying to impose his timing and his plan on Jesus' timing and Jesus' plan. That's what he was doing. He was trying to get things done in his own way, out of his own efforts, in the timing he thought was right. Can we relate to that? Times when we tried to do things in our own strength. Times and opportunities where we've eaten from tables that are not Jesus. So as you've got that, has everyone got it written down? I want you to have a look at everything that's on there. You might feel embarrassed about it. You might feel annoyed by it. You might feel angry or sad. And I want you to just have a look at it. Really, really look at it. You'll know all of the feelings and situations that are represented on that sheet of paper. And just take a minute to really look at it. Then what I want you to do, especially if you've got the cards that we've made, I want you to fold it. And as you fold it back open to when you found it and you see the writing on it, I want you to know that that's God's response to everything you've written down. And what does it say? What does it say? You're invited. Everything that you have on the inside of that card, God's response is, you have a place at my table. God sees you. He knows you. He knows everything about you, and he invites you to his table. Kids, would you like to give me a hand this morning? Benaiah's not sure, maybe. Can I get four of you to come up? and grab hold of the platters that have the bread on it. Maybe get to both sides of the, get two on one side, two on the other. Do we have four? We do have four, don't we? Each gets a bread. Maybe each, you know, just one. Yeah, if you go to the next one down. And so what I want to do now is I want our kids to, I'm going to pray. And kids, what I'd like you to do is, oh, maybe if you can't do on one on each side, sorry, that's not going to work unless you've got really long arms, is I want you to start going around and offering the bread to everyone who's sitting at the table. And so can we do that? Because you're little and you can squeeze through the aisles. And I'm going to pray. And as you hand the bread, if you can remember to say these three, or say these words, say, this is Christ's body broken for you. As you hand it to each person, this is Christ's body broken for you. And kids, you can do that now. Do we have all the bread out? If you've got, we've got some gluten-free, and maybe you gluten-free people have to go to the table yourself. Sorry. But there is rice crackers there. So this is Christ's body broken for you. Father, I thank you for your powerful invitation that goes over everything that we are and all that we are. And it reminds us again that we are invited. And this morning, as we grab hold of this bread, which symbolizes your body broken for us, we say yes to you again. Do we have any more bread back there? No? Is it all there? All right. We've got lots of time, so it could be all right. I think we're almost there, but if you've got your bread, I want you to just hold it in your hand as I pray. Jesus, we thank you for your table. We thank you for your body that was broken for us. life that we have because of your death. And this morning, as we, many of us, hold in both hands one, that card which represents all that we are and so much of the brokenness that we have and we are aware of in one hand, and how in the other hand we hold on to this symbol of life and hope and forgiveness and salvation and healing. Now, Jesus, as an act of spiritual warfare, as an act of radical hope, we say yes to you and no to what's on that card. And so as we take it now and we eat, we say yes to you. So take and eat. Receive the life that Jesus has for you. Know the hope that he has for you. Know that he is going to be the power that you need to overcome what you need to overcome. Know that in this simplest of meals, Jesus is going to satisfy in you the very thing that you have never known satisfied. And so what I want us to do next is, with those cards in our hand, I want us to tear them up and come to the table once more and exchange that torn up card for Jesus' blood. And I want you to pour your cup and go and sit down once more, and we're going to drink together. If you want to and you're there with someone, why don't you pour someone else as an act of living that life of servanthood that Jesus invites us to? Maybe pour a cup for someone else and remind them that this is Christ's blood poured out for them. A blood that overcomes everything that was written on those cards. Jesus, this morning we hold and we thank you for your blood poured out for us. We thank you that you then and now invite us to consider your blood poured out for us, and how in doing so we have overcome all that the world can throw at us. This morning, God, remind us of the power and the life we have in you and through you. As we drink from your cup, Jesus, we ask that your presence would fill us once again. That your kingdom would come once again in us and through us. That healing would come in us and through us. That salvation would come in us and through us. God, we thank you for the profound truth that each of us have a place at your table. And I ask for us that you would bless us as we go out. That we would leave this morning knowing we have met with you today at your table, and that our life will never be the same again. And Holy Spirit, where we need you to move, whether that's in physical healing or relationship restoration or mental healing, God, whatever area we need, whether that's in just to see a really, really oppressive, hard situations and circumstances just broken or light come in. You know, just that sense of, oh, God, I'm not alone. You're here with me. God, I pray that those moments would come now. That your presence would be with us. That like those first disciples in that upper room where they were about to be completely turned upside down, and yet in one way or another, they were reminded of the words that you said, of the things that you did around tables, your message that you spoke to them and you continue to speak to us, that you are with us, that you are for us, that we have a place with you. I pray blessing on each of us this morning. That we would go out into our week, into our workplace, into our schools, knowing that you go with us. Amen.
Wonderful. Well, look at that, right on time. That's the biggest miracle of the morning. We would love to be able to pray with you if you would like someone to just to stand alongside. I know those things that are written on those cards represent some really big stuff.